I'm glad these aren't live streamed video lessons because I didn't comb my hair before I left work today. So I apologize, but I worked in the rain this afternoon and it was cold and wet, but it dawned on me. I better look at the Wednesday night list, and it said Brian has the Devo, so you're probably getting tired of hearing me. Some say have the gift of gab, and I do like to talk, but I like to talk about good things. I don't like to talk about things that I think are a waste of time, so if you get to know me, I probably won't talk about things that are dull, vain, boring, empty, idolatrous, covetous, or anything like that. If you want to talk about the Bible, I'll talk. And like last Sunday night, I may talk for an hour. But and so I know that about myself. And one of the things I did all week long up to this point is listen to my lesson several times. And there are several things that I didn't like about my lesson. And I've talked to Mike about that, and I want you to know that I'm supposed to analyze myself. I'm supposed to hear myself. I should go back and review what I've thought and what I've said and what I've done, because the Bible says to not buffet your bodies, but buffet your bodies and make sure you're not reprobates. And so I try to do that, And so I want to talk to you about something tonight. It's been on my mind all week long, and so I'm really glad that I do have the Devo, because I feel like I can kind of come back and say some things that I want to say now. The Bible says in Romans 15, verses 1 and following, that we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. And this is amazing, because in this context, this is one of my favorite passages, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. The God of patience and consolation will grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, if we have one mind and one mouth in verse 6. And if in verse 6 we have one mind and one mouth, we will glorify God and we will stand united. And so in verse 7 he says, receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now there's a definite condition here. To receive one another as Christ also received is specific. But I want to go back to verse 1 of Romans 15, where it says, we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. The idea of infirmity there has to do with an infirmity of the mind. If you look the word up, it's a reference to a weakness that stems from the mind. A person that's not as mentally strong, a person that might be easily offended, might be a practical application. And we have to be careful with that, because some people aren't as thick-skinned, as we say sometimes. Some people are very thin-skinned. And there are passages to deal with that. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 that love is not easily offended. So strong people have probably worked on the doctrine of love and learned to overcome more difficulties in life. If I'm reading this practically, the Bible, I think that that's probably what this is talking about. But the opposite is also true, that if someone is easily offended, they're still having to work on love, and I might need to help them. And so he says in Romans 15:1 again, we that are strong need to bear the infirmities of those that are weak. Now, those that are weak aren't given a pass here. They've got to become strong. But we just can't say that you're weak and I'm strong, you're dumb and I'm smart. That's not the approach. Does that make sense? We're going to have to try to work with people some. But again, we've all got to receive one another as Christ received us. And so we have to look at the way Christ receives us, and that would go back to the gospel plan of salvation, fundamentally speaking. We all have to obey the same message. We all have to comply with the same truth, and we all have to realize that we'll answer one day to the God of all creation. A couple more passages. I've only had 5 minutes, so please give me a few more. I want you to notice here in the 13th chapter. Look at verse 9 and verse 10, the end of verse 9. He says, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, I like the way this is said here, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, I want you to think about how you love yourself, and then again, compare that to how you will love others. But as you do that, don't use yourself as a standard for love. You've got to be careful with this idea of the second great commandment, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Because some people might love themselves in the wrong way. And if you love yourself in the wrong way and you try to transfer that kind of love onto your neighbor, then that's going to be the wrong kind of love. That's a logical conclusion. So the love that must define us is the love of God. And simply said again, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave sacrificial love. So if you don't love yourself correctly, then it would be impossible for you to practically practice the second law, the second great law here, that Paul says in this brief statement, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You have to be careful with that commandment. But then look at verse 10. This is an amazing passage. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. So he gives you a practical application. There can be no ill toward your neighbor if you're loving correctly. And then look at what he says. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. The right kind of love. And that would be sacrificial love. And throughout this entire context, you'll find how to get along with one another. How to excuse scruples in Romans 14. But I want to back up one more time in Romans 12. And I think sometimes this passage in verse 18 can be one of those passages offered as an excuse. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And so we might get to a point where we quote that passage and we say to ourselves, well, I've done everything I can do. And we just give up. Well, I'll tell you like a deacon told me one time, when I first started preaching, and he wisely said to me, in dealing with a peaceful situation in a congregation, and I was at my wit's end. I was ready just to throw my hands up and say, we've done all we can do. And this deacon said, not until we've exercised every tool in the New Testament. Not until we've exercised every tool in the New Testament. And he asked me, have we pulled every tool out of the bag? And I'd never thought of it that way. And so guess what? Mr. Casey Cromer's dad, and many of you know him, and I still know him very well, reminded me to do. Go back to your Bible and start studying some more. And make sure you're not casting away a brother or a sister in Christ that we can save. Make sure. He wasn't excusing their fault. He was just saying, make sure. You get the point? He was saying, make sure. Keep studying. And so we need to be careful that we don't get to a point to where we would say, I've done all I can do. I cannot live peaceably with this person. Remember, it says, as much as lieth in you. That's digging deep. That's digging real deep. Now again, relationships must be reciprocal, mutual. There has to be two people involved. And so there has to be two parties involved, and that requires, again, communication on both sides in order to remedy the solutions. Remember Romans 15:1, we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. We need to try. And so finally, I think this is amazing as you would consider this context. If you want to make this work, everyone has to do this. In order for all this to work for any of us, look at Romans 12 verses 1 through 3. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Okay, we got to do that. We got to be a living sacrifice. And that's worship. That's attending services. That's being active and participating. And so we that are strong may have to go and grab those that are weak and say, you need to be in services, okay? You can't quit. You got to be a living sacrifice. We're not offering dead sacrifices. And by the way, this is in the punctiliar mode or mood. It means specific action. It doesn't mean this continual all of life is worship, as some of our goofy brethren were theorizing about several years ago. That's not what this is saying. It's punctiliar. It's a specific act. So while you're sleeping, you're not worshiping God, okay? So present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, okay? Being conformed to the world will automatically cause division. It will stir up controversy if you are conformed to the world and we're trying to be conformed to Christ. That's going to automatically drive a wedge in a relationship. And so that's why when people start getting and doing odd things that are not necessarily natural, and the Bible says nature teaches us. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians, and we have to be careful not to go against cultural norms. That's what he's talking about there. And so when we start to become a rebel or a rogue, and I'll just say it because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I want to tell you, when you start to get tattoos and you start to plaster your body up with these things, you're calling attention to yourself. Okay? You can't say you're calling attention to God Almighty. You're calling attention to yourself. Okay? You're a painting now. And you're causing someone to say, what is that about your flesh and so forth? And we have to be careful with that motive. Now, I didn't do that, but that's what the people do. And that's conforming yourself to something. Or you start getting all these crazy earrings, and I can say crazy, things that are just out of the norm. Okay? I'm going to say this practically. I'm a dad. I've got a daughter. I've got two daughters. They wanted earrings, and I said, okay, one. But they want two, and they want three, and they want four. Well, you can hit the road, Jack. Find somewhere else to live. Maybe I'm too hard on that, but that's just not my norm. You know, I don't want, unless you've got a medical issue and you need to do something to help you with headaches or something, and there are some things I understand, acupuncture, I don't disagree with all that, but I don't know if I agree with all of it either, but that might be in the realm of scruples, Romans 14, and I've got to be careful with my judgment. So I don't want to become so strong that I'm so divisive either. I want to be careful, okay? But do you understand what I'm saying? We don't want to be conformed to the world. If we're conformed to the world, we're going to begin to cause divisions. That's why Christians shouldn't be conformed to anything but Christ. And that's what that says. And so we should all be striving to be that way. And so in order for us to be united, we have to then renew our mind. Prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect, the will of God. And we can't do that if we don't study our Bibles and if we don't come together. And we won't communicate. And see, that's the key here. But we that are strong sometimes have to reach out to those who are weak and say, hey, we can all do better. Because it'll always be that way. We can always all do better. Right? So I hope that that'll be an encouraging devotional for us to just remember that there are practical ways in the Bible to help us. And we can get along. But we've got to be motivated by the same things. If any of us has a motive that's stemmed in lust, pride, or ego, if that's a motive, if that's your motive, then there's going to be a problem getting along. It's going to be a problem of unity. If it's all about you, then it will never work. If it's all about Christ, guess what? It'll work every time. So ask yourself, is this all about Christ or is this all about me? And God will bless us if it's all about His Son, Christ. And He'll save us if we'll obey His gospel and be conformed to Him. And so here tonight, have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you a member of the Lord's body? Have you been immersed in water for the remission of your sins, having repented of your sins, made your mind up to walk in the newness of life? If you're not a New Testament child of God and you're ready to make that most noble decision, then we're here ready to help you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and become conformed to Christ. And that's our job. That's the first thing we can begin to do as a strong person. We can begin to encourage people. Speak out. Say something. Demonstrate your strength to those who have infirmities of the mind in the world and help them see that the only thing that can ground them and make them whole, make them solid, make them strong, because that's what we're striving to be, is strong, right? We're not striving to be weak, are we? We're striving to be strong. But we've got to help people get there. And so maybe we can do a better job as we go forward. But if you're here and you're in need of the gospel invitation of our Lord and Savior, then why don't you let us know as together we stand and we sing, won't you come?